السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل، ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل، وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل، ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل، فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering on the day of Jumu'ah. Indeed, this is a great, great, great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we see many, many more days of Jumu'ah. May Allah ta'ala make it such that we appreciate the day of Jumu'ah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that our last day in this worldly life is the day of Jumu'ah. Around us there are so many things that are happening, there are so many fitan, there are so many challenges. But the challenges that a person goes through is one of two types. Either is a challenge as far as his dunya is concerned, or either is a challenge as far as his deen is concerned. The dunya challenges we all know around us, they are difficult and there are methods and methodologies to deal with it, but they are of a lesser nature compared to the challenge that a person goes through when his deen is affected. There was a great qadi by the name of Qadi Shuraih rahmatullahi alayh. He was appointed as a judge in the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And can you imagine what must have been his maqam and status, that in the presence of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he's been appointed as a judge. So he would say that when I go through any type of difficulties, I praise Allah Ta'ala four times. Four times I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I go through any worldly difficulty. Why do I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala four times? I praise Him the first time because whatever worldly difficulty I went through, it could have been worse. Allah Ta'ala took away 100,000, Allah took away 1 million, He took away one business. Allah Ta'ala could have taken away all my family, all my belongings, everything. So whenever something happens to me, I thank Allah Ta'ala that it could have been worse. No matter what it was, it could have been worse. One leg was amputated, it could have been such that I could have lost all my limbs, I could have lost my life. So when a person is thinking like this, automatically now the thinking is positive, he feels good. Instead of complaining, now he's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, the second reason why I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I go through any worldly difficulty is Allah ta'ala gives me that opportunity of saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, through which I hope that I'm going to get reward by saying this. In other words, that I am going through this difficulty, but instead of complaining, I'm reading the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is known as istirja'. I read these words hoping for reward. The third reason why I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every difficulty that I go through is because this difficulty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put me through, this difficulty is actually got to do with my dunya, it hasn't got to do with my deen. Because if it was a difficulty that had to do with my deen, in other words, I missed a salah deliberately, I didn't pay my zakat, or if I back answered, or if I made ghibat, or something I did that affected my deen, it would have been much, much more than this thing affecting my deen. It affected only my dunya, it's not so serious. So therefore, when a person is going through any type of difficulties, he thinks to himself that this is only a dunya difficulty, at least my deen is not harmed. So anyway, what I was trying to get at is when a person is going through any type of difficulties, the first thing he looks to see, is this a challenge to deen or is it a challenge to dunya? If it is a challenge to deen, immediately a person has to heighten up. A person has to be much, much more aware and careful that now this is a challenge with my deen. Currently what we're seeing around the world is actually a challenge to a person's deen. Many, many times, and we can see it, what's happening in the Mubarak places, the lands of Makkah al-Mukarramah, the lands of Madinah al-Munawwara, how the Arab world, the different types of fitan that is coming in from all sides in the name of the Abrahamic Accord, in the name of trying to moderate Islam, to try and create some type of watered down Islam, a new fashion Islam that accommodates women, accommodates men, accommodates bare paradagi, no type of segregation between men and women. Anything that has got to do with jihad at the moment is being taken out from the libraries in Saudi Arabia. Even the word jihad also is something that is taboo. Can you imagine what is happening? But the point I'm trying to make is, when it comes to this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala himself mentions, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun," that verily we have sent down this reminder, this Quran Sharif and everything that has to do with Quran Sharif. Effectively, the deen that Allah ta'ala has sent to us, Allah ta'ala is saying, we will protect it. We are the ones that will protect it. In history, there were situations where people tried to destroy Islam, tried to refashion Islam, tried to remodel Islam. They tried to get rid of Huffaz Ikram. They tried to get rid of Ulama. But it's Allah Ta'ala's system. Think about it. When they tried to get rid of the Quran Sharif itself, thousands and thousands of copies of the Quran Sharif was burnt. But the Quran that Allah Pak has put in nearly every Hafiz's heart, the Quran Sharif that Allah Ta'ala has put in his heart, how can he burn the heart that Allah Ta'ala is protecting with young small children? So this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will protect. Anyway, there was one incident I'll just mention. So a Muslim doesn't lose heart when he's seeing what is happening around. He doesn't think now this is the end of Islam. Allah Ta'ala has taken it upon himself to protect Islam. There was in the time when, just about the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, then at that time Yemen was controlled by the idolaters. Or just before then it was controlled by those mushriks. And then Yemen now was conquered. And who was it conquered? By the Abyssinians. So now it was conquered by the Abyssinians. And who was appointed as the viceroy to be in charge of Yemen? A person by the name of Abraha. That he now is in charge, that you are in charge of this area under the control of the Abyssinians. And now what he had did was, he decided that, listen, I want to bring the attraction here. We want to make this the new Europe of the world. We want to make this the new attraction as far as the fitna is concerned. We want to divert people away from Kaaba Sharif. We want to bring them here to Yemen. Why? That they must make tawaf of this new formed house that I'm going to build. So he built a cathedral, a very, very smart, outstanding cathedral. The bricks were made out of gold and silver. It was studded with gems and rubies. And it was so high that if a person had to look from the bottom, he couldn't see the top. Now the whole idea of making it so beautiful was to create an attraction. But remember something, the attraction that Kaaba Sharif has, that magnetic force that it has, is a magnetic force that is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It got nothing to do with the brick formation or the cement formation. That is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the magnetic force that is in everyone's heart to go there, to this Mubarak house that was created by the Mubarak Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, built by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So anyway, what he wanted to do was create this cathedral, and now he sent a message around that nobody now must go to Makkah al-Mukarramah, everyone must come here, this is a new place to make tawaf. This is the new house. That house there in Makkah, nobody should go through. So the Arabs in Makkah al-Mukarramah, they were upset about it naturally, although they were mushrikeen. But they had great reverence for the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and they had the great love of Kaaba Sharif. One thing they had great love for was for Kaaba Sharif. So now what had happened was, one person, to insult this newly built cathedral's beauty, so what he had done is he came into that cathedral and he defecated in there. He passed stool in there to show that we're not going to respect this place like how you want it to be respected. So this is what, in one narration, this what comes. In another narration it comes that somebody from the Arab tribes had put up a fire as they were traveling. They used the fire for their own personal needs, and the wind came and it caused some harm to the structure. It caused great damage to the structure of this cathedral. So whichever was the incident, either this person came and defecated, or that fire came and damaged it, but it created great upset. It created, Abraha had become extremely upset that this is what these people are doing. So now what he decided to do is to take a massive army. Can you imagine? They were a massive force at that time. To take a massive army, we are going to destroy Kaaba Sharif. He wasn't going to destroy the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wasn't going to destroy the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is much, much more higher than even the physical structure of the Kaaba. But nevertheless, this is what intention he had, to destroy Islam. So people that have these intentions to destroy Islam, they will go for a little while, but they won't go beyond that. There's a nice Urdu saying that Allah ta'ala yaha der hai andera nahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives respite. carry on with what you're doing. All the wrong things that you're trying to do to change the deen, Allah Ta'ala gives respite. But Allah Ta'ala is not blind to what is happening. He is fully aware to what is happening. So anyway, what he did was, he got authorization from the headquarters, from Najashi, that this is what I'm planning to do. I'm planning to take an army and we are going to destroy the Kaaba Sharif. So what Najashi had done, he sent one special elephant at that time, a huge elephant that was never seen before of that nature. Can we think of the most massive earth removing equipment, you know, that type of machinery that goes and destroys buildings and breaks buildings. So use this machinery, so to speak, this big huge elephant to assist you in demolishing Kaaba Sharif. And together with that, 8 other elephants also were sent. And now this huge army was messing and moving, and then you got these elephants also moving with them. Now imagine the Arabs, they knew, they had the love of Kaaba Sharif. So whoever came in front to try and oppose them, they were completely destroyed. They were mowed down by this huge army. So anyway, they proceeded until they came to the grazing lands of Makkah Sharif. When they came to the grazing lands of Makkah Sharif, they had stolen and they had taken all the camels and all the animals that the people had had. And Abraha had requested to see the head of the Quraysh at that time, who was the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, known as Abdul Muttalib. So when Abdul Muttalib had come, can you imagine the features on his face? He was the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a handsome man, a cheerful man, a charming man. When he looked at this person, he was overawed by the brilliance of this person, the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he asked him, then, what do you want? So he replied that I want those 200 camels that of ours that you have taken. So now Abraha tells him that I'm actually surprised that we are going here to destroy the Kaaba Sharif. We're going to destroy the house of Allah and you're asking me only to give you the camels. Now look at the reply that the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. He said, you see, the camels belong to me. So therefore I'm concerned about the camels. The house of Allah, Kaaba Sharif, belongs to Allah. Allah will take care of his house. I don't need to worry about that. He will sort that out. So then he rebuffed. And at that time he said, Allah won't be able to protect his house against me. Now when arrogance comes in against Allah Ta'ala and against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala does not like this at all. At all he does not like this. So anyway, he moved with his army. And now when he moved with his army, the idea of what to do with the elephants was to tie chains around the neck of the elephants, and the other end of the chain was to tie to the pillars of the Kaaba, to the brickwork of Kaaba Sharif, and force these elephants now to move, to tear down the whole structure of Kaaba Sharif by using these strong animals. There was one person that was captured on the way by the name of Nufail ibn Habib, that he was captured by this army. So he was now being used as a guide. When the day came now, when they were instructing that these animals move and the people move, he just whispered in the ear of this elephant. This elephant's name, this big elephant, the major one, his name was Mahmud. He just whispered in the ear of this elephant. He told him, return back to safety, because you have entered the sanctuary. In other words, you have entered the Haram Sharif, the Mubarak place, the protected place, the sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This animal also realized that this is a sacred place. This is a place you don't play in. You don't try and change the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Makkah al-Mukarramah. You don't play with the Haram Sharif. This is not something that you play with. This animal immediately sat down. So now they tried poking it with spears. They tried hitting it. They took axes and they were trying to hit this animal. It wouldn't move one inch. They even took spears and they were poking it up the trunk of the elephant, but it wouldn't move. Then they tried turning the direction of this animal. When they turned the direction of the animal towards Yemen, it woke up and started moving. Then they turned it towards Syria, it started moving. They turned it towards the east, it started moving. They said, okay, let's try turning it back to Makkah Sharif. Immediately it sat down again. It didn't want to move one inch. Now this animals also knew that don't play with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just then they seen that birds were gathering, flocks of birds were gathering. Allah Ta'ala wants to use an army. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need atomic bombs. Allah Ta'ala does not need Scud missiles. He does not need F-16 aircraft. Allah Ta'ala even can use small birds to do the job that even Scud missiles can't do. So Allah Ta'ala brought these birds, flocks of birds, in their beaks. They were carrying, each bird was carrying 3 small pebbles. Ulama explained that the size of a gram seed, you know, wheat gram or a mustard seed, small size. But when this thing would fall, it would penetrate whatever it hit, even better than what a bullet would penetrate at close range. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used these birds. And now what had happened is the army started dispersing in all directions. And Allah Ta'ala, when He wants to attack somebody, when Allah Ta'ala wants to take revenge on someone, Allah Ta'ala doesn't need anything, but Allah Ta'ala will show it. So what he did was, one of the last people to have passed away was Abraha himself. Allah Ta'ala had caused him also to get one sickness, and such a sickness that every limb of his body started rotting and started separating. Finger by finger, limb by limb, started rotting and decaying. They had to carry him back to Yemen in this condition. And when he reached Yemen, he died in this condition, completely decayed, and his body has been rotten. Now this is when you want to play with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was another person, just to digress, time is almost against us. There was another person, the son of Abu Lahab. His name was Utayba. He had married the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Lahab, we knew, was the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went on to Mount Safa and he called all the clans and he told them, now introducing Islam for the first time, he was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but yet he went against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked all these clans, that if I were to tell you that there is an enemy in the bottom of this mountain, would you believe me? They all said yes. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tried to introduce Islam to them, tried to introduce wahdaniyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them. And then when they, at this point, this Abu Lahab had, he now cursed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that may you be destroyed, have you only called us for this? So this was the type of person. Now he had two sons, one was Utba and one was Utayba. Utayba was the elder son, and he had married the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummi Kulthum. So now what had happened was that he had ordered, when these ayat of the Quran had been revealed, Tabbat yada abi lahabi wa tab, there is no time to go in the tafsir of the ayat, but when the surah was revealed, he ordered his two sons that you all divorce the two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you divorce the two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One was Umm Kulthum, who Utayba was married to, and Utba was married to Ruqayya, the other daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this Utayba, what he had done was, he divorced the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he told him that I have divorced your daughter. You don't come to me. If I need, I will come to you. And then he pounced on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he tore the shirt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On that occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam cursed him. He said, "May Allah Ta'ala set one of his dogs against you. May one of the dogs from the dogs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kill you." So he knew in his mind that this is the Nabi of Allah. This word of Allah can never ever be incorrect. As I'm saying, Allah Ta'ala doesn't need anything fancy. Allah Ta'ala can use anything. So on one travel of theirs, now they're going to Syria. They were going for some trade to Syria. Now Abu Lahab knew that this also was the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that may one of the dogs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kill him. So what he, at night they were very scared that no animal must come. When is the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to come into reality? So what he did was, he made everyone sleep around and he put his son there in the middle. You sleep in the middle. So if any animal comes, that animal will first attack the people around. It won't go to you. You've been protected by these human beings that are sleeping all around you. A lion had come in the night. That lion had went one time round and then pounced on him and killed him one shot. The words of Allah, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will never go in vain. This is something that must be. Allah Ta'ala, he'll use what he wants to protect. Anyway, I'll just finish with one last story. The point I'm trying to make is, we don't get despondent. The deen of Allah, the izzat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala will protect it. Allah Ta'ala has taken it upon himself. Recently, there was a cartoonist, a Swedish cartoonist. In 2007, he had drawn a cartoon of a dog, and the face of the dog he had put of was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, likening Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a dog. I said, Allah Ta'ala, yaha, der hai andera nahi. So now what had happened was, people were against him, people wanted to kill him. But to try and prove that, listen, you can't harm this person, we have given him two full-time policemen to be his security. Full-time, wherever he goes, he's staying in a secret location, he's moving with state security, state control, state guards. Everywhere he's going, he's been protected with state security. Now Allah Ta'ala doesn't need anything fancy. Very recently, about 1 or 2 weeks ago, this person was traveling on the highway. And as he was traveling on the highway, with his security, in the police car, the car veered off the road, went into, on the oncoming lane, and crashed into a truck. burnt into flames, it engulfed into inferno, and Allah Ta'ala burnt him together with the two security guards. Don't play with the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna kafeenaka al-mustazeen. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are sufficient for anybody that mocks you. Anybody that mocks you, you're actually mocking and playing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that to end this talk, a Muslim doesn't, when he sees all these attacks against Islam, all the attacks against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the attacks against Sunnah, he doesn't lose heart. Allah Ta'ala is there to protect it. And what methods he will use are very, very strange. Sometimes we cannot even understand. Look at this person. He thought he was under that security. What method Allah Ta'ala used that even those people that were meant to guard him, they also burned to death with him. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal and bringing the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.